Good morning.
I am excited to come before you today to give you the word that God has given me. I have learned that sometimes you go one direction and it's just not coming together. And then when you just take some time and let God just work through you, it always comes together. And so I'm so thankful for a God who just allows us to sit in his presence and be able to hear from him on what he wants us to do. Not what we want to do, but what he wants us to do. I'm going to be reading from Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this day, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for all that you do in our lives, Lord God. Father, thank you for the word that you've given me to bring to your people, Lord God. Take me out of it, Lord God, and speak through me, Lord Jesus. Let this be something that your people can take and apply to their lives, Lord God. Here in the sanctuary, online, all that hear my voice, Lord God. Let they be able to use this to build their life up for the kingdom and for you, Lord Jesus. I thank you and I praise you in your name, Jesus. Amen. My title of my sermon is, Do Not Be Ashamed of the Gospel. So in chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, it says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to first the Jew and also the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Before I dive in to my lesson, I wanted to talk a little bit about what the gospel means. What does that mean? When we hear the word gospel, what does that mean? The gospel means the good news. Good news. The word itself comes from a Greek word, and it literally means good news. In the New Testament, it refers to the announcement that Jesus has brought reign of God into our world through his life, death, and resurrection. We just celebrated last Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And it's one of my favorite Sundays because without Resurrection Sunday, we would still have that death sting, and we don't have it. So the good news is that he has come and he's done something for us. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He gave his only son. God gave his only son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's powerful. I'm a mother and a grandmother, and I love my children. I love all children, to be honest. It could be said that you would find me with children all the time, and I would bring them to church all the time. And I think that's just a passion that God has given me. But to give one of them up for other people, I'm going to be honest and say, I don't know that I could do that. I'm not giving Jeremiah up for someone else. But God gave his son to people who not all were going to believe, not all were going to follow. He knew the death that his son was going to have to take. But he gave him so that we may have eternal life. That is the gospel. Romans 4:25 says, he was handed over to die because our sins, not his, ours, yours, your neighbors, your best friend, the people that sit in this sanctuary, the people that hear my voice, my sin, your sin. And he was raised to live. He was raised to life to make it right with us, with God. So when Jesus died on that cross, he was our sacrificial lamb. His blood cleansed us so that we can be in right standing with God, because God is so holy that sin cannot come before him. You cannot go to God in sin. So we needed a sacrifice. But luckily, we don't have to sacrifice animals every special day to get ourselves cleansed like they had to do in the Old Testament. Our sacrificial lamb was Jesus. He went to the cross willingly. My first point, the gospel is the power of God at work. The power of God at work. It is not our power. We can't do anything. The gospel is the power of God at work. That work is salvation. Salvation is the work that God is doing. And he's still doing it. It hasn't stopped. He is still offering salvation. Salvation is for everybody. What does salvation mean? I always like to look up the meaning of words so that we have a better understanding of what we're thinking about. And in the Westper Dictionary, it says deliverance from the power and effects of sin. Deliverance from the power and effects of sin. The power and effects of sin. Sin can be powerful. There's a saying, and I hope I can get it right. Sin will take you in places you don't want to go and keep you there longer than you intended. I think I said that right. But it will take you places and keep you there, and you have no intention in actually staying that long. No one wakes up and says, I'm gonna be a drug addict today. No one wakes up and says, I'm gonna have an adulterous relationship. No one wakes up and says, I'm gonna kill someone today. Those are not things that you wake up and you just go, yep, I'm gonna do that. But once sin grabs hold of you, it doesn't wanna let go of you. So you need something that's powerful. And the only thing that's powerful is God. And God sent Jesus, his son, to break that sin. The definition of salvation in the Bible. Salvation simply means to be saved, delivered from the result of sin and have the result of sin and eternal death. So I don't think we ever think about eternal death. But without Jesus, we would have had eternal death. Salvation is possible through the sacrifice of Jesus so that we may have eternal life. For every human being, except for Jesus, has sinned. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned. We are born into sin. No one is sinless except for Jesus Christ. We like to think that we're good people. Oh, I don't do this. And I didn't do that. But the Bible tells us that we are all born into sin. And when we try to look at our neighbors and our friends and our family, I will point myself out. My family will look at me and say, she's the righteous one. She's the good one. But I'm not. I still have sin that I'm dealing with and that God is working in on me. And I wasn't always good. And I did sinful things because there is not a person who hasn't. And so even if you're that person that's the church person that everybody looks to and says, oh, that's the church person, they got it all together. No, we don't. What we have together is that we know that we're sinful people and that we need Jesus. That's what we've got together. That's the difference between me and someone who doesn't have Jesus, is because they don't know all the time that that's who they need. I know I need Jesus every day. I hope you do too. The penalty for sin is death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. Because of our sin issue, we deserved death. No one can say that they didn't. Because remember, we talked about God being a holy God. And so sin couldn't go before him. So the power of the gospel is the power of God at work. That work is salvation. So God so loved his word that he gave his only son so that our sins can be forgiven. Jesus took the death penalty away. That is power. That power is salvation. So the gospel has a powerful message that we can be saved. The gospel is the power of God at work, and salvation is that work. Point two, the gospel is for everyone. It says, first Jew and then Gentile. Gentile means it's for everybody, for everyone. There's not a person that's excluded in that. There's no special look. There's no special clothing. There's no ancestry that you have to receive salvation, because it is for everyone. When Jesus went to the cross, he went to the cross for everyone. For everyone. Romans 10:12 and 13. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is the Lord of all, richly blesses all who call on him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You just have to call on the name of the Lord. Now, it sounds easy. I'm not going to make light of it. It sounds like it's easy, but there's work to be done. Because once you call the name of the Lord, once you say, Lord Jesus, I want you, there is some work. But that work cannot be done without you calling out to Jesus, to the Lord, and saying, Lord, I need you. Because he's the one that does the work in us. That power of salvation is God working through us. So when we talk about the gospel, it's powerful that salvation is powerful. It's because God is working things out in us. And we can be stubborn and we can sometimes dig our feet in, but God can work on those things if we hand them over. As we were worshiping today, one of the songs talked about surrendering. And I remember, I don't remember if it was, which pastor it was that I was under, but they talked about surrendering. And they talked about putting your hands up. I believe it was Pastor Butler. Put your hands up. And he talked about when the police ask you to surrender, you put your hands up because you're showing that you have nothing, that you're giving it all up. I don't have anything. Well, when you're surrendering to God, you're throwing your hands up and you're saying, God, I don't have anything. I don't have anything. I need you. I have nothing, God. I need you. And sometimes when you throw your hands up in church, you feel a little like, who's watching you? It doesn't matter who's watching you, because the one who matters is watching you. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you throw your hands up, you're surrendering and you're saying, God, I have nothing. I have nothing, God. I need you. And once I learned that's what that meant, when you throw your hands up and surrender, I have no problem with throwing my hands up and surrendering and saying, God, I have nothing. I need you. 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 through 4. This is good and pleasing. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all to be saved and come to a knowledge of truth. So that right there says that it's for all people. God wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. The truth is that he came to cleanse us. So it all goes back to salvation. It all goes back to the gospel, what Jesus did for us. And it started with God saying, Jesus, I need you to go do this. Jesus, I need you to go do this. It was hard because on Good Friday, we watched a video. It was a powerful video. But in that video, it showed Jesus in the Garden of the Gethsemane, I believe I said it correctly. And he was praying to his Father. He's praying to God. He's praying, God, if you can take this cup away, but your will be done. God, if you could take this cup away, but your will be done. Because he knew what he was getting ready to go through. But he needed to do what God's will. He needed the power to go through, and he wanted God, just, if it's your will. And it was God's will. And Jesus went through with it for all people. I know that I met some people who are like, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know what kind of person I was. I've done horrible things. But you know what? Those things don't matter when you come to the cross and you lay them down at the cross. When you lay your sins down at the cross, it doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus's blood washes it all. You just have to go to him. You have to go to the cross and you have to lay it down. I lay it down. I want something new. I want something new. I want to be a new creation in your eyes, Lord God. I want to be different. I want to live for you, Lord God. And he takes that old life and he washes it. And all that dirt and grime and sin, doubt, anger, all of that stuff that held us bondage starts to free us. It starts to chip off of us. And we start to become a new creation in Jesus Christ. But it's for everyone. You just have to ask for it. Point three. So at the beginning of my verses that I read, it said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God at work. It is the power of God at work. Paul is saying he is not ashamed of the gospel. When I was doing some research on this, I learned why Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. And then I thought to myself, am I ashamed of the gospel? Do I act like I'm ashamed of the gospel? Do I portray that I'm ashamed of the gospel? The good news is the gospel, and it's powerful. It is powerful. Paul knew it was powerful. Paul, when he wrote this, he was in chains in Rome, but he was okay with that because he had a message to spread, and he wanted to get to Rome. He wanted to spread this gospel to Rome because he had a mission. And Rome was a huge empire with lots of people who were Gentiles who didn't know who Jesus was. And so he wanted to go and he wanted to preach the gospel. And it's interesting because you don't think about different platforms or where you can preach the gospel. But Paul knew that if he could get to Rome, he could spread the gospel because it was big enough, that empire was big enough, and it could spread. And his mission was to get it to Spain. And so he needed to spread the gospel. And he knew that it was powerful. He knew it was powerful. So he was excited about spreading the gospel because the gospel is powerful. It's powerful because of the salvation that brings to all people. And he needed the people in Rome to know that it wasn't just for the Jews, that it wasn't just for the people in the disciples. It wasn't just for the people who were his followers. It was for all people. It wasn't just for the Peters. It wasn't just for Paul. Paul needed everyone to know that it was for them. And he knew that the gospel was powerful. So he said, there's no reason for me to be ashamed of the gospel because it has power. And even though I may die, I am going to spread this message, this powerful message. And that powerful message gave him power. He took beatings. He went to jail. He was in house arrest. He went through all of those things just because he was going to preach the gospel. He was going to share the gospel message that salvation is for everyone, that God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. And 3 days later, he rose again. So don't believe the lies that Jesus didn't rise again, because he did. And when he did, he took that death sting away, that we don't have to worry about that death sting no more. That we don't have to have that death sting no more, because we can have eternal life. And Paul was like, I'm not afraid of what happens to me, because he knew what he had. His death sting was gone. So no matter what happened to him, he knew that he would be reunited with God. He knew that. So he was like, I'm going to go to the ends of the world. I'm going to go and I'm going to spread this gospel. And I'm going to let people know because they needed hope. They needed to know. Because what some people thought was that when the Messiah came, that he was going to turn things around and the Jews would be on top and everybody else would be on the bottom. That is not what the gospel message was supposed to be. The gospel message was for everybody. And that he wanted them all. God came and turned things around. Jesus turned it around, turned things upside down. He came as a servant. They didn't think that was supposed to happen. He was supposed to come as a king, a conqueror. He's a king. He is a conqueror. He's also a servant. He served. He's a great leader to show us what we are supposed to do here. So Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because of all of that power. He wanted everyone to know that salvation was for everyone. Now that you know the gospel message, now that you know what gospel means, now that you know the power of the gospel, do not be afraid and do not be ashamed of the gospel. Spread the gospel news. God died for our sins. Even though we deserve death, he went to the cross. But praise God, last Sunday we learned he didn't stay there. He rose 3 days later, defeating death forever. Defeating death forever. So that all who believe in him will defeat death and have everlasting life with him in heaven. So as I close, I want you to think about this. Am I ashamed of the gospel? Am I ashamed of the gospel? If you are not ashamed of the gospel, then you should be spreading the gospel. You should let your neighbors, you should let your friends, your family members know that there is saving grace, that salvation is for them, that Jesus died on the cross. He didn't stay there. He rose 3 days later. His blood washes our sin. He wants it for them. It's not for the elite. It's not for the rich. It's not just for the poor. It's not for the people who grew up going to church. It's not for the people whose parents went to church. It's for everybody. There's not a person that Jesus didn't die for. He died for us all. So if you are not ashamed of the gospel, go spread the gospel. Let's build God's kingdom. Let's build it together. Let's pack this church. Let's pack other churches. Let's build the kingdom so that people know there is hope, because this world is dying and people are hurting and they need to know the gospel message. So I say again, if you're not ashamed of the gospel, spread the gospel.